Brothers and sisters, who has got a fish sticker on their car? I'm hoping for somebody. No, nobody has got a... Oh, somebody has got a fish sticker on their car. Okay. In Hermannsburg, lots of people have fish stickers on their car, where I come from. Another question. Have you ever been annoyed by a car in front of you with a fish sticker or a similar form of Christian identification? Somebody else. A third question. Have you ever considered buying a sticker saying, the way I drive, a fish sticker would be grossly misleading? I get annoyed regularly when driving. My wife can tell you, even today, this morning. It is just as well that there is no sticker on our car proclaiming the idiot driving this car is a Christian minister. Brothers and sisters, these are the things James is talking about. We have a claim to perfection in our Christian lives, which we find hard to fulfill. James knows how we function as mere mortals. We are not perfect. We give mixed messages. We annoy people by appearing to be hypocritical. We are all talk but no action, or worse, all talk and then do the opposite. The human condition is not easy, and James's ideals are high. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring, asks James. And we can answer, of course not. But we experience another reality, one that is not only black and white, but one that has a lot of grey in the middle. I would say James's ideals are good. Yes, we should follow them. Yes, we should try to fulfill them. But James's ideals are too high. Who could be perfect? And furthermore, another question that occurred to me, who needs to be perfect? I will come back to this later. Peter is a prime example. His tongue is the first to confess Jesus as the Messiah, as we have heard in the Gospel reading. But only a few moments later, he talks so much rubbish that Jesus shouts at him and calls him Satan. One moment, Peter shares the divine wisdom. The next moment, his utterance earns him the title Satan. A very fast fall from grace, one that Peter will repeatedly experience as the story goes on. Maybe a little bit like what we have experienced in our life, that we cannot live to the high standards that we set ourselves or those that are suggested by James. We can praise God. We can engage in deepest prayer. We read the scriptures, yet with the same tongue, brain, mind, eyes, we also think, say, see things that are far from sublime or godly. Maybe we could work on it. But I doubt whether we'd be able to ever reach perfection as envisaged by James. Monks and nuns try it by shutting themselves off from the world, or hermits forsaking all worldly contacts. Yet, even they still inhabit this world and cannot escape. Peter's experience is our experience. So let's take a closer look at what happened to Peter. He experiences one of the most lucid moments when he sees and says who Jesus really is. You are the Christ. He is the first. He is bold and brave. He recognizes Jesus' divinity, and he is our example in that. But he cannot accept Jesus' other side, his coming in lowliness, in weakness. He cannot accept his way to death. And very much like a tempter, he tries to convince Jesus that surely this is not necessary or advisable. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter is trying to have a discussion about it with Jesus. He's trying to convince Jesus of another plan. He's in fact saying, "I know better than you." I think this is a trap in which we might easily fall. Do we not sometimes claim to know what Jesus would have said or done? Some of you may carry the letters WWJD with them on an armband. What would Jesus do? It's one thing to ask that question for oneself and to find an answer for my own life. That can be very useful and very helpful. But it is quite another claim to try to claim to the rest of the world to know God's will and the answers to everything, and expect everybody to follow you, like certain church leaders of Eastern Orthodox churches. And if you read the letters in religious publications, you regularly stumble across such religious claims and counterclaims, whatever the topic is. You can insert your own pet hate or love at that point. And you will find people saying, "This is what surely what God wants," or "Jesus would say these things today in such a way." Everybody claims that they know what Jesus thinks or what he should do, just like Peter, who knows what Jesus should do, definitely not go to Jerusalem and die there. These are Peter's failings. He thinks he's got a better idea about God's will. Why? Because he wasn't listening properly beforehand. And because he focuses on the divine nature inside of Jesus, the thing he just discovered. You are the Messiah. And he forgets about his humanity. And thus he tries to deny everything that has to do with weakness, frailty, pain, dying, and death. If we are honest, we can find all these things in our lives, in our relationship with God too, and also sometimes in our claims about God. But the good news is the relationship between Jesus and Peter is restored when Jesus reminds Peter who he is. Peter is a disciple who follows Jesus. This is what his words mean: "Get behind me." It is a renewal of his call. The Hebrew term for being a disciple, being a follower, is to walk behind someone. And this is what Jesus tells Peter. He reminds him of his call. And by doing so, he removes Peter from his self-assumed God position to the place of disciple, who walks behind his teacher in order to hear his words, to see his actions, and thus to learn. In this, Peter can be a direct example for us again. This is how our relationship with God, with Jesus, should be. We need to assume the attitude of a disciple, walking in the footsteps of Jesus in order to learn his way of life, going closely behind him so that we can listen to what he says and not miss the softer nuances of his words. We are not the ones who should develop a vision of where God should be going. In this matter, we are followers, not leaders. I think listening is the most important thing, but we should also remember the other things that Peter seems to have forgotten in this situation, that we do not claim to know the will of God until after we have properly listened, and that we consider the divine as well as the human side of God, that we remember highness as well as the lowliness into which God came, and glory and despair belong to the same picture with him. We need to do a lot of listening and learning. After Jesus told Peter to be a disciple again, he goes on to teach about discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Peter learns here that what he forgot before, that Jesus' messiahship does not mean a life in glory and an easy ride to heaven. Eventually, Peter learns it, but it is not an easy way for him. And there are a lot more situations in the gospel story where he fails. But fortunately, God's love is greater than our failures. Peter is forgiven. Every time he gets a new chance. And it is the same for us. We are invited back to listen, to return to the number of disciples, to continue our way with Jesus. We are invited back every day, and regardless of how badly we have talked or acted. This is the good news for us today. And as for my driving and my getting annoyed about somebody driving in front of me, maybe I should ask myself, what would Jesus say? Do it like Peter and follow patiently. Amen.